as we bring Elliot Friedman into the conversation. Elliot, first of all, good afternoon. Second, 1 o'clock Eastern, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman will speak. On Saturday on Hockey Night, you know, you talked about an idea or a belief that the NHL was first notified about something, an event happening, an incident, something like that. You can clarify for us. Late December or early January, correct?
Yes, that's what I believe to be the case. I don't even know how I would term it, so I'm going to be careful with that. I think that the best thing for me to do would be let, because I'm sure the commissioner is going to reveal the timeline today. At least I hope so. So it's probably best that he explains it, but that's what I'm under the impression, that they were notified of something around the end of December, the beginning of January. But the one thing I absolutely do expect him to say is that he believes that the scope of what he was told then was nowhere near the scope of what was eventually revealed in the report. And so, but, you know, I obviously I think we're all going to be curious to hear what he has to say, but I think that's going to kind of be the explanation of when they heard and what they were originally led to believe.
You know, in any situation like this, it's always who knew what when, and you think that will be that will be the main crux of the press conference today. We knew this at this time. This is why we're doing this press conference. Or could there be more to this presser from the commissioner?
Well, I expect that they'll they apologized on the weekend when they had with Kyle Beach and his attorney. They had a Zoom call, and the league did apologize to them and offer whatever was necessary for him and his family in terms of counseling or support, whatever they need. I assume he's going to apologize publicly, but there's going to be a lot of questions. I mean, you know, one of the things that I'm sure, you know, people will ask is, you know, there's a lot of commissioners who would hear something and they would still look into it, for example. You know, did that happen? Did they press to know more? You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tough questions about, what exactly happened, what they knew, when they realized that maybe things were a little bit different. Like, was it until they received the report that they didn't know the full scope? Things like that. What to do to make sure this doesn't happen again? I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tough questions out there today.
Again, that comes up at 1 o'clock Eastern. We'll cover we'll carry the entire press conference here on the station. This is going to be an important couple of days. I just mentioned the negotiations between the Hawks and Kyle Beach are scheduled to start tomorrow. But pausing on that conversation for a second, the NHL Players Association. Executive board meeting scheduled for later today. Obviously want to do it later, get past morning skates, etc. 32 player reps have the potential to be on the call. This is a conference call. And we know a lot of them are angry and very much in question is the future of the executive director of the Players Association, Donald Fehr. As I mentioned on Saturday and we've discussed elsewhere, Elliot, there is no obvious replacement. Like immediate obvious replacement for someone like Donald Fehr. What do you think happens on this call today? And I chummed the waters with this at the beginning of the program, saying that you'd sort of outline how this could work if the NHL player reps decided to go the route of trying to remove Donald Fehr as the executive director. Can you go over that for our listeners?
Sure. Well, I think first of all they're going to ask a lot of questions. You know, what exactly happened? Why did this happen? We do know, someone said to me on the weekend, is there any chance this didn't happen the way that Kyle Beach said that it did, or the report says that it did? And I said, well, the NHL's own statement indicates they had contact and they threw it at the feet of their doctor. So, you can't go back, right? You can't say that this didn't happen, or we didn't handle it, or we did handle it properly, because you've already admitted released a statement where you admitted you didn't. And so I think you're sitting there and you're saying, as a player, what happened? you know, why did this not work? So I think they're going to ask some of those questions. Then I think what's probably going to happen, and I'm just guessing on this one, is they're going to ask him to leave the call, and they're going to discuss it amongst themselves. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to have a vote. If they do have a vote, as long as there's at least 20 people on the call, they can vote right there. If there's not at least 20 people on the call, and that's the team representatives, then you can wait. Then you can do the results over 72 hours. You need 18 votes. And I don't know if they're going to vote today. I really don't. But I do think they're going to ask some tough questions. I wouldn't be surprised if Fear proposes a situation where he says, look, I will step down on such and such a date so we can have an orderly transition. One of the things that's kind of a side story in all of this, Jeff, is that, you know, there's been some agent splits. There are some people, like in any business, there's some people who support Fear. There's some people who don't. I think there are some agents who worry about the Players Association being plunged into chaos if he's fired or forced to quit today. So I think one of the things that's going to happen is I'm sure a lot of agents, depending on how many clients they have on the call, you know, they're going to say, make sure you make the smart move as opposed to necessarily the most reactive move. But I think everybody understands that there has to be something that comes out of a situation where Beach was clearly let down.
Going back to this idea, because I'm with you, I can see Donald Fair, you know, can probably, you know, read the tea leaves, see what's happening here and say, okay, here's the wiser thing to do is for a transition period to take place.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I come back to on that one is how do they determine who they're transitioning to?
Yeah, that's one of the things.
It's one thing to say, okay, we're going to have a transition period. Okay, well, that's fine. But Matthew Schneider was a name that I heard early. Gillis is a name that's out there as well. But how do you even decide, if you're going to have a transition process, how do you decide on who you're transitioning to?
Well, I think that's one of the issues, no question about it. And, you know, Mike Gillis has been hired by the Players Association in a more advisory role. He used to represent Schneider as an agent, so they obviously know each other really well. You know, I think there would be no shortage of people who would be interested in the position if it was to come open. I think one of the other questions is going to be, I think what some people were saying to me on the weekend is, how much say will Fear have over the process to select his successor? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the questions I think that people are asking. So it's tricky. There's no question about it. Look, I definitely feel the players and the Players Association believe that there have to be consequences for this. There is going to be some kind of change. I just don't know if it's going to be immediate or it's going to be, you know, this is his date and this is how we're going to nominate the successor.
Today was supposed to be a day as well. We heard from Kevin Cheveldayoff and Mark Chipman, the Jets, announcing that the owner of the Winnipeg Jets is suffering from a severe case of vertigo right now that has been put off. I mean, there's a lot of questions around Kevin Cheveldayoff and how he managed to elude punishment in all of this, considering he was at the May 23rd, 2010 meeting. So that gets pushed off until, we believe, tomorrow. And then also the Hawks and the Cal Beach will meet to start settlement negotiations. I don't know what Kevin Cheveldayoff, when he finally does speak, says, but there is the idea of something being legally sound, and there is, you know, the court of public opinion as well. I mean, how much do you look at the Winnipeg Jets situation and say, if Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to survive through this, this is going to be a really sophisticated threading of the needle, because, you know, there are the howls for massive There are howls for massive discipline everywhere. Mm-hmm. Quenneville mm-hmm. gone. You know, probably for the, you know, probably forever, pending a conversation with the commissioner if he wants to come back. Ditto for Stanley. Like, these are severe penalties for these people. Not saying that they're not justified, not at all, but these are severe penalties. I'm not so sure that in the court of public opinion, it's going to be easy for Cheveldayoff to thread that needle. What do you expect to hear out of Winnipeg?
I don't know. I really don't know. Yeah. My feelings on the statement that was released in July. I made it pretty clear a couple of times now. Yeah,
It's a misleading statement.
Legally sound in terms of the way it was written, but definitely misleading. It's probably the nicest way to characterize it. But, you know, like, I think everybody wants to hear an explanation. I actually do think it's the right thing for Chipman to be there, because he backed his guy here. There's no question about that, that Mark Chipman backed his GM, and he should be there at the same time. So I think that's the right thing to do. But, you know, to be honest, you know, because of what you said, Jeff, the fact that people look at severe punishment for this person, severe punishment for this person, punishment for this person, and now there's no punishment, I really don't know, like, what's it going to take to change anyone's mind about how they feel? Like, I'm trying to sit here and imagine, mm-hmm. you know, what can be said that's going to change anyone's mind or satisfy anyone. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know. So I'm just curious to see whether it's tomorrow or later in the week when they do finally speak. I'm really curious if there's, like, this is such an emotional thing and people are so passionate about it for obvious reasons. I don't know what can be said that's going to satisfy anybody, but we'll see.
The Hawks and Kyle Beach meeting to start settlement negotiations. The Chicago Blackhawks indicating they want to come up with something that is fair for mm-hmm. Kyle Beach. As I mentioned off the top, the word fair does a lot of work in that sentence, because what's fair mm-hmm. to one is certainly not fair to others. In Kyle Beach's statement last week, you know, he talked about, you know, his road ahead and his struggle continues as the Hawks, you know, try to dismiss the court cases. They maintain it's strictly procedural. I'm not a lawyer. I can't comment on that, Elliot. I don't know if that's how that should be received. It's not being well received, certainly by Kyle Beach and mm-hmm. his group and his lawyer, Susan Loggins. But how do you, again, so much of this is predicting, and what do you think this is going to mean, and how do you think this is going to go? I don't know what a number could be. I don't mm-hmm. know how the proceedings could be. All I know is the Chicago Blackhawks maintain, going back to last week, that they believe legally that they could win a court case on this, but they know that they've done something wrong and they'd like to reach an equitable agreement here, a fair agreement with Kyle Beach. How do you think this one goes? Because you know this will be there won't be many secrets in this.
Well, I'd be surprised if they didn't settle. You know, I would be surprised if they didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. I mean, what is, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talked about on the weekend on the show, and I think in some of the meetings we had before the show, and I can't remember if it was Sheldon Kennedy who said it or Allison Forsyth, just that one of the reasons that you want to go to court is so that everyone can hear the truth in open court. And there's a feeling of vindication for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, like, when I listened to both of them or one of them, I'm sorry, I don't remember specifically who said what, but I remember it was said, you know, I mean, you listen to what they have to say and you believe that, right? And mm-hmm. so, like, last week when Kyle Beach released a statement about the Blackhawks being upset with the idea of the Blackhawks ending it in court, I wasn't exactly sure how to take that. But after listening to what Sheldon Kennedy and Allison Forsyth had to say on the weekend, I have a better understanding of that. So, you know, I think a lot of it depends on how, you know, Kyle Beach feels about this. But look, I mean, it's tough to discuss numbers, but we're talking about a high pick, a center, right-hand shot, 52 goals his last junior year. And then after 8 games that season in the American Hockey League, which was his I think he played 11 games in the AHL. Like, he was called up as a black ace on a Stanley Cup team. There's not a lot of players that young who get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely an argument to be made for significant career earnings. And, you know, I don't know what's acceptable to him. I don't know what he would want, but it's not insignificant, obviously.
Before I move on, I want to ask you about a couple of other things outside of the Chicago situation. And maybe you've already answered this, but what are you looking for in today's press conference from Gary Bettman? We all are expecting, you know, the timeline.
Yeah.
And to have him on record saying what the timeline was from the NHL's point of view. Is there anything else that you're looking for the commissioner to answer today?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, I think an apology is very important. It should be really the first thing, and I would assume it is. You know, the timeline is obviously huge, as you said. What did they know, and when did they know it? You know, one of the things I'd be curious about is, and I kind of alluded to it in my first answer, is do they regret not investigating it on their own sooner? Like, that is one thing. Like, when we talked about that on Saturday night, later that night, someone called me and he said that, you know, for example, if this was the NFL, he would think that even if an NFL owner said, you know, we've got this issue here and we're going to investigate it, he thinks the NFL would say to their own personal people, security people, I want to know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I kind of wonder about that. You know, I think the other thing too is, I think people are going to be curious about, since the report came out and this situation started to play out publicly, have any more people come forward? Are you looking at any more situations where we have to worry about here? Hmm. And, you know, that's the other, like, you know, one of the things that Allison Forsyth told us was that we should be prepared for potentially more of these stories, because people are going to see, you know, the U.S. gymnast coming forward and the soccer players a couple weeks ago coming forward, and now Kyle Beach coming forward, and they're going to feel emboldened that people are now listening to their stories. And while she said that's a very good thing, and what that also, because people feel that they will get the support, what that also means is more stories about this. So, I mean, I'd be curious to hear if they're bracing for any more.
You know, that's one of the things I think we all thought of when this first started, that this was tip of the iceberg. To that point, because invariably in situations like this, when one person who is, you know, considering going public with their story sees the level of support and outpouring of, you know, love and support and cradling of someone and everything other than shame, which is a big motivating fear why people don't go public with their story, it does make people, and rightfully so, and thankfully so, more comfortable in sharing their story. This is going to be a hard turn here. So let's just pause for 1 second, catch our breath. Elsewhere around the NHL, Elliot, the Jack Eichel story is still a story. And the weekend has come and gone, and now it is November, and there's still no resolution. It's hot, it's cold, it's on again, it's off again. It's Monday, November 1st. Where are they at?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I haven't followed this up as much in the last 24 hours as I normally would. I do know that last week, talks with Vegas got pretty hot, and then they cooled. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think that Vegas and Buffalo know where each other stands. And they know what the other team thinks, and they know what the issues are. And... you know, one of the things I've been told that really complicates all of this is that, you know, if Buffalo is not going to retain, I think teams have looked and said, is there anybody else who will help us facilitate the deal? But like, let's just say for argument's sake, if you ask, say, Arizona to pick up some of the money, you're asking Arizona to do it for 5 years. What's that worth?
They better get something nice.
Yeah. So
if they're going to do that.
I think all of those things are very complicated. I do think Vegas and Buffalo have tried. I have had people tell me they thought it was going to happen on Friday, but it's obviously not there. So, I mean, it continues. People just continue to grind away at it as best they can. I think the grievance talk got pushed off last week because they were really working towards it, but I don't know where that stands right now.
One other quick note, and this is going to be a very newsy day, and we're on the Bettman press conference starting in just over half an hour from now. Cole Caufield of the Montreal Canadiens has been assigned to AHL Laval. It's been a struggle for Cole Caufield to kick off the season. Many penciled him in as the Calder Trophy favorites. Michael Pezzetta, by the way, called up from Laval. It's been a challenging season, not just for Cole Caufield, but for everybody on that Montreal team. The West Coast trip was a disaster. There's no other way to put it. You know, we had a general manager get in the room to have a closed door meeting. This is early in the season. We've had a general manager after four games call a press conference to try to calm media and fans alike down. And now Cole Caufield is sent to the American Hockey League. And listen, a lot of people look at that and say, you know what, that's probably a smart move considering how the team handled, you know, high draft picks like Alex Galchenyuk or handled Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Do you have a thought on either Caufield getting sent down, the Montreal Canadiens right now, or both?
You know, I said to you last week that if you're Montreal, you've got to be thinking about kind of just punting on the year and taking your shot at the Shane Wright lottery, right? You know, nothing's changed in a week there. You know, like, obviously, that's a team in an enormous identity crisis right now. And, you know, I don't think you panic. I think you kind of wait it out and see where it goes. And I think you kind of reset and say, if we have to write off this year, we're not going to do anything to try to save this year. Like with Caufield, you know, I remember when they sent down Kotkaniemi, one of the things I said was, it happens. It doesn't mean the guy's a bust. It doesn't mean it's not going to work. Young players go through this. I don't have an issue with that. I think he's too talented. He will eventually figure it out. But with the Canadians, I don't think this is a time for short-term plays. And if you have to, you know, I don't think they'll – no team wants to do this, and it's a very difficult thing to admit. But, you know, like you, this year is heading into write-off territory for them. So what do you do about it? Like, you know, Chicago, the same thing, Jeff. You know, they – you know, someone was asking me yesterday – you know, how quickly do you have to go to hire a new GM? And, you know, the one thing I said in that case was you might have to start breaking up your team. So you've got big decisions to make.
You do, and you don't have a first-round pick. It is 1 and 2 protected, I believe, but you might be handing a team, well, Columbus. You might be handing Columbus a third overall draft pick.
Yeah.
Because Chicago and Arizona, like Arizona's out already, and Chicago, you can throw them into the mix as well. They completely losing October, you lose the season.